Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast, the Mike edition. Kevin and I's mics have been wonky wonka wonk, but here we are, and I think we sound good. And then our very wonderful sound team, a man of one, Brian, makes it work even when my mic goes crazy, so that you guys can listen with your listening ears. Mm-hmm. I'm losing my mind today,
as opposed to your non-listening ears.
Exactly.
That you sometimes have on.
No, truly. Okay, this is season 3, episode 17, Dance with Somebody. This is the Whitney Houston tribute episode, Kevin.
I don't know how we're on episode 17 already.
Crazy.
Makes no sense.
We're running through these a lot faster than it takes to shoot them. That's for sure.
Well, that's for damn sure.
That's why it feels so fast. Right, exactly. Okay. This is the Whitney Houston tribute episode. This is more of a character piece than a tribute episode, as one Ryan Murphy said. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy said that? Yeah. Okay. What was going on in the world?
In the world, somebody that I used to know, oh, look at that, is number one in the country shortly after it was featured on a Glee episode.
Huh.
Glee, I don't think Glee had anything to do with it, because that song was already massive.
Okay. We won't take the credit.
No, not this time. No.
Number one movie, Think Like a Man.
Fun fact, I did not know that was based off of a Steve Harvey book.
Oh, right.
I remember that movie. I just did not know it was based off of Steve Harvey.
Same.
It was a big week in Glee News Week.
What was it?
We, on April 26th, did our 400th number. And it was seemingly a fan favorite, we've come to find out. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Whoa.
At Nationals.
I can't believe we're already at Paradise by the Dashboard Light. That feels like season 6.
Fully.
Right? Very strange.
By that point, I think, personally, mentally, in our lives, we had gone through so much that it had felt like we had lived a lifetime. We had experienced the amount of things that people hope to experience at some point in their lives all within 3 years.
That's right.
It was just...
That's right.
We had shot 60-something episodes. We had been on 2 tours. We had performed at the White House, been on Oprah, been in a movie. It was all these weird things that you hope to achieve at some point in your life.
All happened. In one. one bundle of a three-year experience.
Yeah.
It truly was 3 years that felt like an eternity.
Yeah, because I think that's why it feels like it was season six mm-hmm. to us, because mm-hmm. we had just experienced so much.
Right. Well, this is, okay, so Paradise by the Dashboard Light is coming up in season three in Nationals, which we will get to. On the road to Nationals, we come across a Whitney tribute that was directed by Paris Barclay. Thank goodness.
Oh, Paris. Let me tell you, there were so many times in this episode, I was like, ah.
Paris.
Reinventing the things that we've been doing already.
That's right.
You know, like making a choir room number look different and exciting.
That's right. That's
loved
right.
it. Oh, wait. The Always. Drama. Mm-hmm.
Paris loved the drama on set. Okay. We have the wonderful Michael Malley back.
Thank God.
How Will I Know by Whitney Houston? Just keep saying by Whitney Houston. I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. Saving All My Love for You by Whitney Houston. So Emotional by Whitney. It's Not Right, But It's Okay by Whitney. I Have Nothing and My Love is Your Love. That's a lot of Whitney.
It's a lot of Whitney, but it's not even enough Whitney.
I mean, there's so much more Whitney.
You can't have enough Whitney.
Where's the say Star Spangled Banner, even though...
No. Look.
Look, no. At least Rachel was talking about it, okay?
Yes.
Again, yes, I agree. We should never see anybody do that except for Whitney, no. Whitney Houston.
Nobody
I almost
can.
Said Whitney Spears.
Whitney Spears. This is our Whitney Spears episode. This is the first time two consecutive tributes have aired in one season. And it's the second tribute episode that isn't written by Ryan Murphy.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. This is the second tribute to a deceased artist. And the first one was Michael. Mark is not in It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
Maybe at a dentist appointment.
Maybe. It's also interesting because Puck had some interesting storylines this episode. Like very... standalone one-off episode scenes, if you will.
You love lines. The gift bag?
I'm confused by the gift bag.
Yeah, there were a couple scenes like that.
Right.
And we were talking before we started recording with Sam, our producer, about how that and the scene with Rachel and Santana making up, they right. are significant scenes, especially for those characters, but they're also sort of like, stand what are you along. Doing here?
Like, why? Kind of.
Everyone's
thing.
Emotional.
That's right. And it's a big, everything is leading up to graduation, right? We have a few, you know, 50 or 70 days left like of school. It's so crazy that they're graduating this year. Like, that's wild.
It felt also reflective of, I think, personal relationships to an extent mm-hmm. in real mm-hmm. life. I think around that time, too, there might have been some things in the press about people not getting along and all that. And I think this was sort of a way to like show that that wasn't true.
Right. When Blaine and Kurt are talking about talking at Blaine's locker, the music note in his locker reverses during a camera angle change. Continuity. I wonder who switched
that.
It. Yeah, I know.
Weird.
Unless they flipped it. Oh, no, they couldn't have flipped it. Interesting.
It's so strange.
So weird. Okay. After So Emotional, Rachel says her and Santana wasted 3 years without singing a duet. When they, in fact, sang three duets earlier this season. So just a little mishap there. Just a little some miscommunication. The lines of communication were missed.
Like literally they did one this year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh Lord. I really like them together though.
Always do. Always do. And I think it's because I like the tension they have as characters.
Yes.
Because they're both like leading ladies. And
yes,
are in competition, but yet just so different. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll see more of that obviously in coming seasons as well.
Chris said, I Have Nothing was the hardest song he had to do on the show thus far and was really nervous about it. Yeah,
I believe
been
that.
terrified.
I don't even want to touch a Whitney song.
No. I think it's very brave of anyone to do that, especially a ballad.
Like, I could hear Chris saying, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, who wants that? That is an impossible mission.
That's also a very high song for him.
Yes.
It's crazy.
But you know what Chris has?
What does he have?
Chris has the acting chops to pull it off.
He does.
He hit it because his voice is super high, but mm-hmm. also makes you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, yes, he's not Whitney. Nobody is Whitney. And how dare they make a man try to sing that song?
I know. And how dare they not give her Amber more songs?
I mean, why wasn't she just doing every song?
All I want to hear is Amber sing more Whitney. That's all I want to hear. The same week as the Glee singles charted, Whitney's The Greatest Hit album jumped back to number one on the Billboard Top Catalog Albums chart and climbed 7 spots to number 28 on the Billboard 200. I don't know, Kevin. We were talking about not taking credit, but I don't know.
Do you think it was because they were like, I can't listen to these Glee kids sing Whitney?
Well, I mean, to be fair, Whitney had just passed away.
Yes.
So, like, of course everybody's listening to Whitney.
Yeah.
I'm not taking credit for it either. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Jenna, the weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Yes, it is, and I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. We love that.
I just got the silk skirt, and then I also got the 100% organic cotton striped sweater. It's great quality for that price. I literally shop here all the time now because it is just undeniable.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/really for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/really to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/really.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Tell me what's going on.
So, this episode is about the Glee Club covering Whitney Houston, thanks to Will and Emma's lesson plan, while they simultaneously come one step closer to their dream wedding.
They get a wedding planner.
Dream wedding.
You look, if you can afford it, build it into the budget. Because let me tell you,
you
wedding
recommend?
Planning is rough. Or just don't have the wedding, just elope and save the money.
I feel like to be a wedding planner, you have to be a strong, strong, resilient person.
Yes, I think so. People bring out, weddings bring out the worst side of people, aka bridezillas. And so you're dealing with people at really high stakes in making life-changing decisions that, or transitions, if you will. And like, I just don't, I bow down to them. Our wedding planners were amazing, but this is not about a wedding. This is about glee. This week's assignment is Whitney Houston because the kids have not moved on from mourning the loss of Whitney. And it's been quite a bit of time. And so she suggests to Will that they should do Whitney. Similarly, in the way that she mourned Princess Diana.
That opening number.
Oh my God.
Sensational.
Perfect.
An a cappella walk through the school.
So good.
That was beautiful. And I think this is the key. When you are doing covers, like with Michael, when you have an artist who is so good and like almost uncoverable, the different versions of the songs, the different takes on the songs, I think are the key to making them work. And when you don't do that, you're not really giving an opportunity to the person who's covering them to do their best.
Right, because you're competing with Whitney.
And no one can come close to Whitney.
I mean, why would you want to try?
No.
Unless you're being paid for it on a TV show and a contract where you can't decide what you say or sing.
I wouldn't know.
This also makes everyone realize that there are only so many weeks left of school before graduation for some of us. And a duet between Santana and Rachel inspires them to finally make peace and be friends for the rest of the school year. And Puck gives out some goodie bags to the boys of the Glee Club as graduation approaches to show his appreciation, which we've talked about already. That's the only time I want to talk about the gift bags in this episode.
Santana's reaction to Will theorizing why the kids are taking Whitney's death so hard is so good and so real and very much us. It's like, no, maybe just we're sad because Whitney was incredible. Like, that's it. It's not, doesn't have to be
so
that
true.
Deep. It's
so
just
true.
Sad, you know?
I feel like also we were singing a lot of Whitney on set. Not that we should have been, but we were singing a lot of Whitney and I feel like they heard it and they were like, oh.
I mean, it also sounds like, you
yes,
know, capitalism.
Well, okay. That's true, too.
Not to get too off track here, but, you know, we were a pop culture-based show.
Right.
And so right. Whitney's that's passing right. is someone like that. Like, when Michael passed, we were bumping Michael music
that's right.
for weeks.
All the time.
Yeah.
So Britney and Santana do I Want to Dance with Somebody. What a cute musical number.
Santana has some good duets. Naya,
she does.
Like,
she
was just smashing it this episode.
Yes. Yes. Oh, he's smashing it.
Heather dancing with her. Heather's number. Also, like, props
so
to
cute.
Paris here. There's two numbers.
In one.
Yes. And that whole backlit stage thing, all the dancers are backlit and in shadow, and like Heather's, and it's also a different style of dance than she normally gets to do on the show. And it was just, then you throw Tiny Dancer in there, aka Naya, just towards the end, and she's just singing her face off.
Get her in there in her cute little outfit.
Paris smash it. I loved the art direction of that, and I also loved, I really did like the Santana and Rachel duet because we do how many duets or numbers in the choir room? We've done countless numbers, but there was something about the way that number was shot and lit.
Again,
where the light streaming in through the hallway, it looked different. It looked exciting. It looked
Well, they were very like music video esque, and that's all. Yes. That's Paris and him, his, you know, experience and past with music direction, but also it felt like we were transported back to the time, like of Whitney and her prime.
Totally.
Like the lighting, and it just like felt.
It was very late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I loved.
In subtle ways. It's like all of a sudden they start, you're in the choir room, the place we all know. And then just like that, the lighting just shifts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too, quite a bit, the lighting in this episode, mm-hmm. actually.
Like in that opening number where you have the spot.
Oh, so beautiful.
Oh, God.
We weren't in this episode very much yet.
No, nor did we need to be.
Yeah, that's fine. But So Emotional was great. They sounded great. It looked great.
Oh, I also liked about that number that it looked like, you know me, like high school kids choreographed it in like a really good way. And I mean that as a compliment to Zach and Brooke. Like,
yeah.
It looked realistic. Like they were having right. so much fun with each other.
Not like us talking about we have no budget and then like having like lights, costumes, yes. sets. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Simultaneously, Quinn's feeling down about being in a wheelchair, and Joe offers to go to physical therapy with Quinn because he cares about her. And,
yeah, he does.
They do this very cute number in the choir room.
Loved it.
And very cute number. Very good for their voices. And this is where I talk about the character piece. I'm like, okay, like, we're moving plot along with songs versus just doing a tribute where you're like Michael throwing it all in there.
Madonna.
Exactly. There's more story than there is music. And so mm-hmm. this is a departure from the usual norm of our tribute episodes.
Correct.
And then they go to PT together, and it is sexual.
That PT session was
very hot and heavy.
Teen boy's nightmare.
Well, and she's like, is that? And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, like, nightmare.
He's too into her and he doesn't know what to do. He's very attracted to her. He talks to Sam about it, and Sam's like, look, you gotta figure it out. I don't know. I feel like, yes, this is realistic in the world of like kids figuring out their hormones versus their core beliefs. But I was mm-hmm. like, wow, Sam, really? You decide if you want to get closer to her or closer to, was it closer to her or closer to God?
Yeah.
It was? I was like, wow. Wow. This is interesting.
Like, yeah, you know, when I was working as a stripper, I had sex. He's like, it's just unrealistic. You can't.
It's really funny.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see this Quinn-Joe storyline coming, though.
Oh, I did.
I didn't.
I just think I remembered it.
Mm. As a viewer, I just, like, it wasn't something. But anyway, Quinn is feeling insecure because she feels like Joe, who turned her down because they almost kissed and he turned her down, like, she's feeling insecure about being in the chair. And she has this very sweet little bathroom scene. Let me tell you, we love those bathroom scenes.
Oh, did
I love
you?
Shooting those bathroom scenes.
I never
there
got
were, like,
to shoot
a few
one.
In the season that we had that the girls all were together. One of them was like, I think when we did the class picture with Elodie, when Elodie Keene was directing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we hang in the bathroom and it's just like a gab sesh with the girls. If everybody's getting along, like we're all right. just hanging, and it's a quick scene. You're in and out. It's usually at the end of the day. Like, it was really fun. Those were really fun. I don't remember doing that scene, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
But I always remembered loving doing girl scenes in the back. Girl
See,
bathroom.
I think you can feel that as a viewer, though. Like, I enjoy watching those. Like, that,
mm-hmm.
all of the ones in our show. And, like, I think of that one in Euphoria last mm-hmm. season.
So good.
With Oklahoma. Because you do have that. Like, everyone stays in that confined space and, like, hangs out.
Totally.
More than normal scenes. And so totally. I think there's no way for that not to translate. And you just feel it. It's such a joy to watch those scenes.
Love a bathroom scene in a high school.
Oh, so jealous.
Show.
It's also a rite of passage. I feel like every high school show or movie,
you're
there's
right.
always the guys or the girls conspiring
in the bathroom.
In a bathroom.
You're right. You're totally right. whether a kid's sitting on the toilet by themselves, eating lunch in the bathroom, yes, smoking weed in the bathroom, doing something weird in the bathroom,
sneaking out of school through the bathroom.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so they do that number, and they are, their relationship is budding. It's budding, and they're very cute.
And I do think it's nice that Quinn's been through a lot. Quinn, just take a second and think about the things Quinn has been through in three seasons.
She's had a baby.
She went from being popular, like number one cheerleader, to like the pregnant outcast in the glee club.
Then going under the bleachers and smoking ciggies and dyeing her hair, to then getting in a car accident.
Scheming to steal her baby back.
Right.
Planting drugs.
Very dark. She's had quite the arc.
Yeah, I'm worried about her.
Where will she end up?
Joe seems like a nice, normal guy.
At Yale. Right. Not so bad. Should we talk about Will and Emma?
Yeah, because what? Out of nowhere. Will's like, we got to get married. We got to get married in May. It has to happen.
That? Why does he want to get married in May?
I don't know. And then hires a wedding planner to like speed up the process. And then when he actually has that conversation with the wedding planner about a venue and a stage so the Glee kids can perform,
he's scared that the kids aren't going to come back for his wedding, which Finn's his best man. So he's definitely coming back. For his wedding.
Get some friends your own age, Will Schuster.
Right. And then all the kids he's worried aren't going to come back from college. I mean, we're not going anywhere, so we're definitely going to be there. All the seniors aren't going to come back. So, yes, he gets the Ohio wedding planner to speed up the process. I have to be completely honest with you. I don't remember if they get married or not. We're being really honest in this episode.
That's what I've been thinking this whole time.
Don't tell us, you guys. We're watching. We're watching for the first time. Except they know more.
The weddings I remember attending are Bert and Carol. And then the double wedding.
What?
The double wedding in the barn.
Oh, the barn. Yes, of course. Okay. So they're planning their wedding.
Yeah.
Who knows if it's going to happen or not?
Their impending wedding. The clock's a ticking.
And Will and Emma have this, you know, sweet little storyline that's kind of brushed over, but not really about him freaking out that the Glee Club's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The big storyline, it feels, this episode is Kurt cheating on Blaine. Emotionally cheating on Blaine.
Kurt is stepping out via text.
He really is taking it a step farther than he should. Two steps farther than he should, to be fair. Kurt meets a guy at the music
store.
Between the sheets. Yes. At the record store, which, Best Buy just took out all their products, like their media out of their stores, like no more CDs.
I'm actually surprised that they still had it.
Anyway, I digress. Kurt meets Chandler and he's helping him find a song, a Whitney song, for his callback for Niana.
Look, and to be young and gay number. In Ohio, you know, it's slim
imagine
pickings.
It's hard. Yeah. And he gives him his number. And Kurt's just texting like very freely about with Chandler.
And then telling Rachel about it, I was like, if you want to do this, Keep it, don't tell.
But here's the thing. Kurt doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. And I think that's why he's kind of open about it.
And Rachel's like smiling through it. She's like,
No. Meanwhile, Kurt is also has this really nice scene with Bert, his dad, Michael Malley, who is in Congress now coming back from D.C. And they're talking about this sweet storyline about a kid leaving the house, you know, flying the coop, going to college, and they've been avoiding talking about it and haven't done their Friday dinners. And gosh, I miss Bert and Kurt scenes.
Because that Bert dialogue, whoever wrote that scene,
beautiful,
earned their paycheck that week. That scene, I was just aghast the whole time. It's like, this is dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Malley
is delivering.
I mean, they're on a different show. They're so good together.
It's true. It's true.
Not saying the rest of us.
Well, but you know what I mean, ourselves.
Though? It's like they're always, it's always serious and it's really meaningful, grounded dialogue with one another.
Yes.
And Bert has a way to like distill.
Beautifully delivered.
Concepts that are hard and like big.
In
about
a very.
Everything.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Oh,
it was beautiful.
It was really beautiful. Beautifully done, written, executed, directed. It was really, really, really well done. And that leads into Chris's song, or Kurt's song. But man, I miss Michael Malley.
So before we get to Chris's song, we have Darren's song.
Okay.
Because Blaine finds out about the texts.
Right.
And is really pissed off. And like, we've all been there. We've all picked up the partner's phone and looked through it maybe when we shouldn't have. Right? Have you done that, Jenna?
No.
Ever?
Okay, in my past, yes.
Yes, like when you're young, when you're in high school.
Oh, yeah, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you do it, and then it's like, oh, that I should not have done that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe I needed to, right.
Right.
Yes.
But don't do it. But if you did, relatable.
Kurt saying, it's okay. And Blaine saying, it's not right, but it's okay.
Good on Darren.
You know, he did the best he could with that line. Yeah. Just making it work. This number brings back a lot of memories, Kevin.
So many memories.
A lot of memories. So we didn't learn this song. We didn't even know the song was coming until maybe that morning. And there was a lot of background vocals. And then there was a lot of acting during those background vocals that we had to be delivering. If you notice in the choir room, we're all singing backup vocals the whole time, but then having to act awkward and weird like we didn't want to be there.
And you know, when you're That's a fan of somebody's music, you think you know the lyrics. Like, you think you know all these lyrics to Whitney Houston songs.
You don't. You don't.
But then you're on camera, and it turns out,
we didn't know any of them, actually. And so we get these wonderful lyric sheets from Tim Davis that are color-coded, obviously, and have all the breakdowns of all the oohs and the ahs and the lyrics and the lead vocals. And there were a lot. I mean, there were a lot. There was like 15 different colors on that sheet, I remember.
There was multiple sheets because normally you could put it onto one page. So everything, there were multiple pages of this.
So we're doing that number and we're on stage in the auditorium doing the one we're all kind of standing behind the desk, right? And we were hooligans that day. I remember we were hooligans. Yeah. And we didn't know what was going on. We were acting a fool. And nobody knew the words.
Why didn't I distinctly remember not knowing anything about this?
We walked on set and we were like, where are we right now? I'm not kidding. Like being like, what are we doing here? And I don't know if maybe it wasn't scripted and then they decided to bring us all in because of the background vocals or something like that. But
I think it probably was.
It felt very out of place. Like we were disjointed. Like, what are we doing here?
We're never normally that unprepared.
Yes, agreed. We were just moderately unprepared most of the time. Yeah. So I have this blue dress on and I remember you guys safety pinning the lyrics to the back of my dress so that you could cheat and look at my back to know the words. And I was like, well, what am I going to do?
I was next to you.
You were in front of me, in the next to me. That's right. What am I going to do? So we were the idiots who didn't have anything. And then there's a shot of like us, we're standing with Leah and she's like fixing her hair like before, like as if the take is about to start. And I was like, oh, they were rolling and like we didn't know.
My mouth is not doing a single word correctly.
That was a mess. We were a mess.
And if you notice, I don't know if it was because of the lighting, I had to keep my head down.
It was the lighting.
I think it was the lighting. And I think, did we try to have lyric sheets taped to the back of the desk?
We tried to tape them down below the camera, I think it was.
Yes, but we also couldn't look down. So like I couldn't move my head to actually see where the lyric sheets were.
Harry's close-up was so funny.
Oh, so good.
We were just acting cuckoo that day.
I also love when Blaine has an insane number like this, like with his brother. Where he's on the auditorium stage, so dramatic.
Committed.
Yes.
Committed.
Yeah. And all the reactions to him performing in the choir room. Yes. All of us looking back at Kurt like, what is going on?
What is going on?
Yeah. Love that.
Love.
And props to Paris again for, you know, inventing new ways to make the auditorium interesting.
Always props to Paris. Props to Paris.
And I like the tension between Kurt and Blaine.
Yeah, it can't always be rainbows and butterflies with them, right?
And they're, oh my God, their scene with Emma. Love. Are you qualified to do this? No.
When she hides the pamphlet, like, sing a song. Why don't you try and sing a song? Very funny. Like,
all of Blaine's, like, points are so valid. Also, Kurt would have been done for me if we were together and he was snapping at the waitstaff to hurry it up for his cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. No.
Please stop slipping bronzer into my moisturizer. And Kurt says, you look good with a little color. And Blaine says, I only use the lotion on my hands. It looks weird if a person just has tan hands.
So good. That scene is so good.
It's so good. We love those scenes with Emma. The Chandler texts also to Kurt are very funny. I don't know if you caught them, but Are you an astronaut because your smile is out of this world? I'm pretty sure you're Cleopatra in another life. You've got a great asp.
That was insane.
Can you sing into my voicemail? I want to make your voice my ringtone. Very inappropriate, Chandler.
Because that also leads you to believe that Kurt never mentioned he had a boyfriend.
He definitely did not. He definitely did not.
Because if somebody's coming on to you like that, you're like, hey, just FYI, I'm with someone, so we got to keep this PC.
Right, right. Yeah. But here, this is the thing. You can't, even so, Kurt just have not been doing that.
I mean, the youth, you know?
Yeah. That's fine.
They're all young and hot and horny.
We're in high school. We forget that. Like, we're in high school, yeah. Right?
They're not going to make the most sound decisions.
We're not adults.
So then Kurt performs his song. And I was taken aback because it's so pointed at Blaine. But we just come off that really beautiful scene between Bert and Kurt. And it's like, damn, he's full of fire after this sentimental scene.
Yes.
And everyone's uncomfortable again. But, I don't know, Parrish is making that choir room look beautiful again.
Once again. And the microphone. And the mic. Yeah, that felt. I was like, where did that come from? But it gives him something to do, I guess. I don't know. It is Whitney. I don't know if that makes a difference. But
a prop is always good. We need more mics.
I don't know about that.
I love a mic. Something to do with your hands.
But also, like, do you need a mic in the choir room?
I don't know. When have we ever talked about things?
Oh, fine. Well, Chris did a great job. That is a very hard, very high song for him to sing. And that's a Whitney, that's an icon. Oh my God. That is an iconic number by Whitney. I short circuited.
That's an icon. You're not
that's
wrong.
That's an icon.
And Whitney are both icons.
That is correct. That is correct.
In different ways. I'm not comparing Kurt to Whitney Houston.
No. They are iconic. Let me be clear. Yeah. In their own right.
Mm-hmm. My love is your love, Jenna.
What did you think when you had to record this, Kevin?
Oh, I hated it. I hated everything I did. I was upset about my performance in it, but it was really nice after having an episode of everybody going through their personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming to terms with the school year ending, mm-hmm. Half the people leaving. It felt really, really nice and old school glee. And I think since Paris hit it out of the park with Dog Days,
that
he sort of gets free reign to make those rehearsal vibe performances.
Agreed.
And it feels good. It felt really good.
Agreed.
I love that number now, though.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think it's just quintessential glee.
And just like more Amber.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
You guys were great. You guys were very good. I wanted more of that, actually. You and Amber.
No, I didn't need to do any more.
No. That was, I was just saying, you left me wanting more, not less. That's a good thing.
Oh, you know? I'll take it.
Yeah. Let's grade these performances, Kevin.
Oh, yes. I was waiting for this.
How will I know?
Give it A+. Yes.
I want to dance with somebody. A.
A. Damn it. I hate when we agree.
Saving all my love for you.
I really liked it.
Give it a B+.
I'll go A-.
Okay. So emotional.
I think I liked this more than you did. I'm going to go A+.
Oh, wow. I'm going to give it an A. It's not right, but it's okay. B-. I have nothing.
B.
B+. My love is your love. A-. Okay. Cringe moments, aka ouchies.
The cheating.
Yes, the cheating. And then also Sam Moore of saying, like, you can give up your beliefs.
Yeah, that whole conversation.
Get closer to Quinn. Yeah, okay. Best dance move.
Oh my God, Brittany.
Yeah, I want to dance with somebody.
Yeah, that was incredible. The leg kick, that floor work.
It was exceptional.
Woo!
Best song. How Will I Know?
How Will I Know? Agreed.
Prop?
Well, your answer is obviously going to be the goodie bag. I think the Princess Diana pamphlet for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, it is the goodie bag. So it's worst performance by a prop. Best line.
Ooh. I think... What do you
Brittany got? Brittany has this really good line to Quinn in the choir room where she says... about dancing with Santana and all of us. And then she says, and Quinn, you're still dancing in my dreams and you can fly and breathe fire.
I think I'm going to go serious with this one and say a Burt line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and me, we made each other men. Just sometimes I want my sweet little boy back.
Okay. You did it. It's so I think that's good. The first serious quote we've had this whole
maybe. And maybe the podcast. Last.
Okay. Performance MVP.
This is hard.
You know.
It was so spread out between everyone.
It was. I feel like
it's got to be Chris or Darren.
Can we give it to both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give it to both.
Okay.
So, Jenta. Shit, we found on the TikTok. Friend of our podcast, the good old icon, TikTok icon, Max. So do you know that Chris is part of Rose's Turn?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going viral on TikTok at the moment?
Oh, is it? That's
and awesome. People have made some really, really incredible.
It's the beginning, right? I'm working hard to yes. get me.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is. And Max's is when I go to the gym once, but I still look the same. But there are so many, and I implore you to watch all of them.
That's really funny.
They're very, very good.
Very good.
Yes. Because somebody, I think Austin showed it to me, somebody else's. And I was like, wait a second. Is that Chris?
Oh my God.
And then I saw that there were like hundreds of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Kevin. And thanks for that, Max.
Anytime.
And anybody posting about that. That makes me laugh. Thanks for listening to another episode. This is the Whitney tribute. And I would love to hear what you guys think about the Whitney tribute since it's different from our tribute. So write in. And it's been a pleasure, y'all.
And that's what you really missed. Thanks for listening and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.